take out of this exercise is that we have some strengths. For example, a solid level of local content production and availability. Local content overall is an important asset, an important focus in the region, in EU overall. We had interest and capability of population in searching information which was a little bit better than, for example, EU average, which is important. So this is kind of an asset of the region. SME interest in DC themes like intelligent information management and ICT for learning, which is one of the core things in digital content from a technological point of view, was very good, taking in from participation, for example, in EU research projects relative to other themes. So SMEs were more interested in this theme than in other themes. Research capacity is actually very, is comparing again from EU programs, okay. There were some weaknesses, of course. Economic ICT investments are very low. No policy for digitalization, multilingualism, coherent policy. Opportunities, follow-up technological innovation comes from the SME participation in the research, trying to put research results into the market. Okay, I'm not going to furthermore. We don't have time for any further explanation. And we came to the four different scenarios. I'll go just briefly about what scenario is all about. So we defined the framework of understanding and describing these scenarios, which are the variables that were used for description, which were kind of part of the consultation also. So we knew what was important. We have put digital openness, which means content openness, generativeness of technologies, and the availability of data in the vertical view, and market reach of Southeast Europe firms in the horizontal view. We describe different states with these different variables. And chose state C as the most favorable future. So what is state C all about? It's in the place where the openness of data is available, the world is very dynamic, SMEs in the region are trying dynamically to use global platforms developed by global players, data and computation power, to serve the local markets based on some local data which goes into, for example, for tourism, transport, culture, weather, research and education. Collaboration with MNCs are important, trying to use their technologies to bring their business cases to regional view. Regulatory environment is set up in a way that enables this aggregation and mashup of the data and services, and thus kind of bringing this dynamic ecosystem of digital content companies. Regional market, as mentioned, was the focus, using multilingualism technologies and tools in order to penetrate the cross-border market. And for example, previous OPEC, CAPEX business models turned to OPEX with kind of local brokerage actors trying to brokerage the data, the services on the local market. Public organizations as data holders face this differently. So they are typically, for example, the data holders, they have many requests for their data for different types, for access, use, reuse. As you know, these days, these are different things under different legal regime, and they need to implement these kind of requests in typically various numbers of small projects. Planning, implementation, financing will not be at large scale. They need to adapt internally, their internal organization, to really match these requirements and to make things happen, which is more dynamic than today. They need to prepare internal acts for legal regimes that will enable quickly use them for different use cases. New PPP models will emerge with additional P, as I said, people involved in this PPP model. And of course, with all this dynamic environment, control of public institutions for assuring, complying, and defending public interests need be more in place. Education will be faced with different situation coming from enhanced flexibility, dynamically changing curricula, which is nowadays almost impossible. Internet educational resources will be used in different ways from different aspects, and formal education will need to adapt to this situation, specifically to enhance the quality of their education. Otherwise, they will not be able to cope with this dynamic situation. How to get there? We have put together the recommendations in four main areas. So in the area of digital content creation, technological areas supporting R&D, education, skill development, and global business environment. I think the most comprehensive description is this picture. So we had workshop, and this picture shows the complexity of our 14 main areas of attention. We described each of these areas in more detailed way, defining issues, policy recommendations, proposed measures, defined actors, and the timeline for specific actions. I will not go into detail for anything. I will just go very quickly through these four main areas. So we have creation and use. We need to have environment that enables open licenses and models for DC access and reuse, different use cases, different formats, different regulation. We have to define responsibility for different actors, because in these value chains, the quality, for example, becomes very important, because otherwise all the chain goes have problem. Interoperability and standards becomes in this very dynamic area the crucial part. Otherwise, we will lose the internet and economy as defined in the first slides. Intellectual rights, ownership, and privacy protection need to be defined upfront and solve this problem for this very agile, dynamic space of aggregation of digital content services. And of course, civil involvement needs to be very high in order for the whole ecosystem to go into the civil and socially responsible use and creation of internet and digital content. Technological areas that need to be there to enable these things are, of course, one side, broadband and accessibility of broadband for everybody under the same terms with no lines between countries at the regional level. Technical and semantic operability. Semantic is even more important for disaggregation of different value chain services of digital content. Education and skills are becoming crucial. First, in the professional side for the creation of digital content, and of course on the user side for the usage and for the demand side of the digital content. Otherwise, the kind of innovation diffusion cycle in economic way will not work. We have envisioned some platforms for digital content sharing on the national, regional, and connecting it to the European level in order to really enable creation of these smart coalitions that we have defined. Economic and business environment needs to support the startups, niche SMEs, both from financing point of view with connection on the multinationals, risk funding and private investment for research and development, exploitation of EU investment in DC platform and infrastructure, so exploitation of EU measures and environment made for digital content, and creation, distribution of localized digital content. At the end, we need to promote industry and academia cooperation at national and regional level in order to build this regional ecosystem and the culture that was mentioned previously. This is the end. It was a bit longer. I apologize, but I hope I covered all needed. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Samo, for this very interesting illustration. I'm just going very briefly because we are already spilling into the break to close with a short overview of what we leave behind. So it's sustainability and how we exploit our results. We have some smaller measures, basically, that we continue operating our web platform with results, basically a document repository that we leave behind, a blueprint for other foresight initiatives to pick up and use and learn from. But there are also the bigger measures. Let me just briefly recall the project goals. They are to strengthen the long-term collaboration. We cannot really basically do that alone, but we can do our part of that in that. And to introduce a foresight culture, which is a bit of a lofty goal, but what we can try to do, and we always try to do, is to stimulate this regional thinking, this cross-border thinking. This is fairly new, and people are not used to that. But there is this geographic coherence, some cultural differences, and to create a bigger market and exploit the synergies that are there, as we have seen throughout the exercise, it needs to have a little push, let's say. And the sustainability is trying to do that. We will define there how to establish and operate a virtual foresight center. And the second part that we leave behind, you have heard it before, is this roadmap for regional innovation and entrepreneurship. The virtual regional foresight center, in its simplest form, would just be this repository. But we have a stronger vision in place, which would be the establishment of a permanent institutional structure that would be able to successfully implement regularly such foresight exercises. Because as a systematic approach, as a participatory approach to a transnational agenda setting, this is a very useful tool, but it needs to apply it regularly to have a longer term benefit. So what is needed is a good practice guideline to achieve this institutionalization of this regional foresight center so that it is regionally owned and managed and supported throughout the time. I think we'll leave this out now because we have already passed our time. We will then meet together after the lunch break. We will continue this session. We will present our other results, but from a different focus after lunch, and you will have basically time to ask questions there. We will also discuss our results with the panel here and with the audience. And thank you for the attention, and see you after the lunch break. Yes, we continue now with the plenary. So we will move to the big room. We will have a short break. We will have like 10 minutes still, 5 to 10 minutes to grab a coffee. And you can take it even with you to room, maybe some pastry, and refresh yourself, and we'll see each other later. Thank you.